Are you ready?
I guess.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's
me.
Spring has sprung here. I don't know about where you guys are, but it is.
Yesterday was very nice.
Super nice outside.
Yeah.
It's nice.
No more snow.
We filmed outside this last week. It's been really nice.
Oh, that's cool.
It's so welcomed. It's so nice when the spring comes. It's makes it all worth it.
Yeah. I enjoy winter. I enjoy fall. I like wearing hoodies. I like wearing jeans. I like wearing layers, you know, and like, that's cool. And I've never been like a really hot weather person. Like I don't, you know, like my wife loves the beach and being sweaty and being in the sun and, you know, it's never been my thing, but this year I'm ready for not cold now. Maybe that's just getting older. I don't know. I'm not sure, but it's welcomed. So yeah, but I've been actually outside more, starting to run outside now, which is pretty cool for the season. But you guys, what have you been up to? What's going on?
Spring cleaning, kind of what we're going to talk about maybe. Mm-hmm. But spring cleaning, it's so nice when the snow reveals all the garbage you just waited for the spring to deal with.
This is like, so true.
There's like frozen climbers in my backyard, which I got to get rid of their bodies.
So I burn all my scraps, but our...
There's an idea, Jimmy. Sorry. Go ahead.
Our the fire pit that we use has just basically fallen apart, and so all winter all my scraps have just piled up my shop door, and there's a huge pile, and somewhere in that pile I know is like a good vlog of like a good reset, burning all your past projects and starting fresh. So I'm trying to figure that out.
I have a huge pile of logs and scrap. We just cleaned out. Local guys here are. Starting my guys Eli and his team, they're starting to build the bathroom inside the horse barn, which is the next phase. We're gonna have a bathroom and a shower and a whole mechanical room in there. And so the other day, him and his team were there, and I just go, get rid of everything. We've been saving all these scraps to build what? I don't know, toy trains, I don't know what, wooden shoes. I got tons of scrap from the big chunks are like 8x8 by like 10-inch long chunks of wood. What am I going to do with them? I've been saving them now for years. So I said to Eli, I go, just put them near the fire pit. Let's just start new. Can always buy more of it. So it's all these random scraps of what looks like decent wood. And if anybody is here at my house, they'd be like, you're throwing that away. I'm like, take it. It's like, I've saved it long enough. Yeah. And so it's nice to get that spring cleaning reset. So Eli and his team threw out. There's a giant pile of wood next to the fire pit, but we got to wait. There's usually a burn ban, and it seems like lately everything starts a giant 500-acre fire these days, so I don't want to be that guy that burns down East Durham. I'm going to wait till the fire ban is over, or at least till we have a nice rain, because contrary to popular belief, you can actually start a fire when the wood is wet. And once the fire goes, then you don't worry about burning everything around. So I wait till it's raining out to start a fire to get rid of a lot of stuff. And what else? Just getting rid of cardboard boxes and, you know, on the porch, there's just so many Amazon boxes. I came home yesterday and I was like, what did I order? I don't even remember ordering that. It was like two boxes the size of like coffins on my porch.
You probably ordered coffins.
No, I was like, what could that possibly be? I don't remember ordering anything that big. And then I get to it. I'm like, oh yeah, I ordered a wheelbarrow on Amazon. No, what it really was is I'm doing a couple of videos for Carbide 3D, and they sent me a Shapeoko. So I got a 2x4 Shapeoko in the mail yesterday. It came in two big boxes, so it needs to be assembled. And so it's just nice to clean up. And I sent you guys the video where that tree fell, and now every time the wind blows, I move all my cars and my guests that are here. I'm like, let's put a car, because if any of those trees, I got like five trees that look like they're about to fall. Mm. So Eli and his team are going to start cutting down some of the trees that are definitely going to fall. So now that
just going back a few seconds, I know for a fact you are not going to be the one to assemble the CNC.
There's nobody else. It's going to be me. There's nobody
it's
else.
Be you?
There's nobody else. It would have been Aaron, but you know he's not here.
Rob figured Rob would do that.
Rob is not a CNC guy. Sorry, Rob, but we're going to try and turn Rob into a CNC guy. Rob's like hand chisels and pull saws. He's not okay. Electronics and screwdrivers. Although he's very good with the car. When it gets to electronics, we're going to let Keith from Blackthorn and DTB Dave do the electric on the car. But me and Rob are students of theirs. So the CNC machine, I think it's not like the old X-Carve where you get like a bag of screws and a roll of wire. This is a little bit more, I think, plug together friendly.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, it's just like plugging this plug into that and snapping that onto that. And so I think I'll be okay. But it looks like a hardy machine for the price range. And that's what the marketing is going to basically be, is me talking about this category, price range, entry level, and the capabilities of this garage CNC type of thing. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm getting my new plasma table. I talked cryptically about it last week behind the scenes show. But I'm buying I made a deal with them. They gave me a very good deal, but I am paying for it. Not full price. I'm getting a fast cut CNC. And when I was looking at it and we were negotiating, I was like, let me just get the big one. This way it'll opens my capabilities. And then this is a
CNC plasma, right?
A CNC plasma cutter, yeah. Yep. I used to have a Torchmate, and now I'm gonna have a CNC fast cut. I keep forgetting the name. It doesn't roll off my tongue. Fast cut CNC machine with a hypotherm plasma cutter. And it's the reason I got the 4x8 is because I'm lazy. Because when you throw up a big giant piece of steel on the machine and then it's in the way for the next cut, you have to take it off. So the reason I got the 4x8 is so I could throw like a 2x2 piece of half inch and leave it there and then put a piece of 2x4.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, so in the machine, I visited a friend's shop and Sosa Metalworks. He makes motorcycles in Vegas. And he's the person that I first was introduced to this machine. And in his shop, he's got the 4x8 and he's got a giant chunk of half inch over there, a piece of 3/8 over here. So when he needs to make parts for the motorcycles he's working on, he just cuts it out of that available surface area. And it's also not a wet table, so it'll be a little bit cleaner. Obviously dusty, but you won't have the muck. If anybody ever had a wet table, plasma table, the liquid gets so dirty. It's like Bugs Bunny. You stick your finger in the dirt and you pull it out and your finger is as black as the dirt. You think you would assume that the water sitting there, all the suspended debris in there would sink. It just floats and it's just like you dip your finger and you come out, your finger's black. So when you got to reach in and grab the parts out, your fingers, it's just really dirty. So I'm going to try
it. So if it doesn't have water, how does it work? I mean, how does it handle the sparks and the blowout and all that stuff?
It's a downdraft table. So it's a big giant funnel. So it's a big 8-foot wide by 4-foot long funnel. Comes down into like a linear funnel. So it's like this and straight. And it goes to a vacuum at the end. And that's something I'd have to buy, a big fan or something to suck the fumes, and they would throw the fumes out of the building. Which most likely I'm not going to do. I'll probably just put a 3M Filtreat at the end and just let it suck through it. Because my shop, I don't care. It's outside. It's like I'm in the weather. I'm in the outside. So I just open the doors and let the wind blow through. And I'm looking forward to that. Not having, because every time I had to use my plasma table, because the table is right there, it's only, you know, holds about a 4-inch trough of water. If you blow into it, it just kind of blows back up. But now this table's got a deep thing. So when you blow into it, it's going to blow down in. Doesn't necessarily have a close bottom. It's got a grill, so the parts fall and land on the grill, but the smoke and fumes get sucked down into the table. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm just looking forward to something that you push the button and it works. That should be fun. So I'm excited about that. Derek's getting my old table. He's going to come this weekend and pick it up and try and make heads or tails out of it. I said, if you can't figure it out, just junk it. Just give it to the scrapyard. But it works. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work reliably, but it works. So he's going to take it and make the best he can out of it. And what else? That's it. Oh, I'm working on a leather bag this week. Oh, you guys see my video where I made the apples? I made these steel apples. I kind of was teasing them for the last couple of weeks. And those were made for Carhartt. Carhartt's doing an ad. Oh, not that they're doing a program where they're giving out awards to high school shop teachers that I don't know how to apply or how to nominate anybody. I don't know any part of that. But this 5 awards I made that they gave out, it was so successful and so heartwarming that they think they're going to do it again. So they're going to maybe expand the program and do it more. And somebody's like, I'd rather have money than an award. I saw that comment. I believe they do give a substantial financial gift with the award. I don't know how much. I don't want to get myself in trouble, but I think I saw that it's a lot of money. So if the shop teacher does win, he also gets this lump of money that goes to him. But the one video I saw, I'm going to spend it right on the students, give it right back to the student program, which is obviously really cool.
That's cool.
So it's a good thing. So the Apple video was fun. And some people somebody goes, this is a funny comment. Somebody goes, because it's called Steel Apples. That's what the program is called. But I'm like, I can't really cast steel, at least not now, maybe in the future. So I said, can you cast pewter? It's just, some guy goes, I feel cheated. It says steel apples and it's not steel apples. And I said, so my comment was basically, in this environment, if you don't clickbait, you don't survive. So I said, I'm sorry about that. And I said, I'll give you a full refund.
You could just put quotes around the word steel.
Yeah. That's true. But there's only a couple of people like that came here to see steel casted. I'm like, well, you know what? I'll give you your jacket and your money back at the door. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Are you familiar with the band Silver Apples?
No.
Basically, the first electronic band ever, formed out of the 60s. They made their own little oscillators and created beats. And if you remember, Folk Implosion from the 90s, I don't know if anybody remembers that band, but they sound a lot like Silver Apples, but I don't know. This is just the first thing that came to mind. A groundbreaking band.
But just one more thing, and I'll stop talking. This next week, we got to figure out when I'm going to do the show. Maybe we could organize. Maybe we do the show next Tuesday if that works for you guys. Because on Wednesday, I'm driving to either Mississippi or Alabama. I'll type in the right address when I'm about to leave. But I'm just going
to head south. Where I end up.
I'll type in the address while in the car.
I know I got to at least drive to Schoharie to get on 90, and then there I'll type in the address. That's a town nearby where you get on the main highway that goes to the rest of the country. But I'm going to go visit my friend Clark at Windy Hill Foundry. He's going to have a get-together. If anybody lives in that area and you know Clark, Windy Hill Foundry. We're going to do steel casting, cast iron.
So, why didn't you just wait and do the apples then?
I'm going to do apples. This is the story. This is why I'm bringing it up. I'm going to bring a bag of apples with me and see if we can't make some of the molds there so I can pour some steel apples there just to have in case we end up doing this again. Plus, it'll be fun just for the learning. If we don't use them, I'll have them. And I'm going to try some burnout techniques with styrofoam where you just stick a thing in there like King of Random used to do. I'm going to try that. And then I want to try just doing some wood cuts. We're going to do so. It's going to be a group of people. He's got a 400-pound furnace, which means you could melt 400 pounds of metal and pour it out of this giant ladle. He's got the whole system there. Haven't seen it with my own eyes, but I'm looking forward to doing that. So we're going to next Thursday, Friday, we're going to be doing that casting a week from tomorrow. So like I said, maybe we tape the day before or something, or we figure it out. We can talk about that after.
Yeah, figure it out.
So I'm looking forward to that. That's my next weekend. Exciting. I'm going to do videos on all that too.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. David, what have you been up to?
So I can't remember if I talked about it last week, but I needed more time with the Casio keyboard. So I started making a very custom organizer for our kitchen drawer. Did I mention that last week?
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. Well then that's what I just finished up. And so it's one of those projects like nobody else can build this because it's just for our situation. But those are the most satisfying projects.
Does Kelly what know I don't about think it
she does not. It's getting a coat of finish, so it's going to be put in the drawer tomorrow, and then hopefully when she comes home from work tomorrow or Friday, I'll hear a That's the plan. That's what
that's
I hope.
That's what you're
for.
Going for.
Ah. Yes. Yeah. I don't think I talked about this on any of the episodes, but a few days ago, I put out a video of 10 creative quote-unquote hacks. I made this a really long video of title says 10 hacks. I actually came out with 20, but I went in depth on these 10 little creative hacks. And in the video, I showed off an app that I've been working on. I showed you guys this app like a month ago, and it's basically, I'm not going to get into too much detail, but it's basically like a random app where if you're stuck creatively, the app has a bunch of different categories and you can roll the dice and it gives you some random options for those things, and you can either choose to lock a certain category or re-roll the dice. And so I showed off the app in the video and got a lot of good feedback. Not many people have watched the video, but a lot of people have commented about the app. And so I've got some more work to do. I think I'm like 90% sure the app is just going to be a free app, and I'll just have like a little like made by make something where they can come and visit my channel. But I was reading this book a few weeks ago, and they talked about Brian Eno, the record producer in the 70s, made these cards, and they just had like random things on there. And so when like artists like David Bowie was in the studio and they drew a card, he had to write a song around this weird phrase on the card. And I was like, that is such a great idea. And so I kind of turned that into an app, but with more categories and everything. So that is what I'm working on. And then we started filming the Casio keyboard video, and it's all torn apart to its guts. So now it's time to start digging in and cutting some wood.
Nice. I was in a guitar center a couple days ago for the first time in years, and there was a Juno, I can't remember which one it was. There was a used Juno there. It was really nice. And I played on it for a little bit, and I immediately thought of you. I'm like, oh, if this one weren't so nice, like this would be one to buy and like do the whole thing with.
Oh, yeah.
I've left without buying anything.
Yeah. I told you I came across the Juno 106 a couple months ago. Yeah. At an estate sale. I got up so early to be the first in line at this estate sale, and I got it. And that's why I have all the like electronics cleaner and fader lubricant on my desk. This is not a video project, and I wish I would have turned it into a video project, because it was this person passed away, and so then there was this estate sale. And so I got there and I got this Juno for $600, and they sell for $1,200 broken, because it's a famous synth from the 80s, and it didn't have the side panels. The cover was open, and some sliders were broken off. You can still get in there with a toothpick and move them. And so I was like, yeah, and there's no way to test it at the estate sale. So I just got it knowing that I could probably sell it for $1,000 if it didn't work. I got it home, plugged it in, and it worked. It was like, and it sounds like the 80s. Like there's so many bands and so many songs that used the Juno in the 80s. And so it just has a very iconic sound, and it's just an absolutely beautiful synthesizer. And so I've been slowly working on it. I'm going to make wood side panels, and I've been replacing faders, and it would have made a really good story. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. It would have made a really good story if I would have recorded myself at the estate sale. But sometimes it is good to have projects that don't go into a video.
Absolutely.
Because there's no pressure. I just work on it on the weekends when I have time. And if I don't want to work on it, I don't have to. And there's no sponsor obligation. I just get to just play with it.
Yeah.
I often have that thought when I'm working on a side project. I'll go out to the shop and I'll be like, oh, I gotta get the camera. Oh, wait, I don't need the camera. Oh, yeah, that like prep thought.
It when you work on something that's not for the camera, there's a little bit of guilt. There's a little bit of, oh, I wish I would have, because there's some cool moments. There's always you come across something that's like a very shareable moment. You're like, oh, dang it.
You squeeze out a Patreon clip or something.
Yeah, I suppose that's a good idea.
Yeah. That's cool. It reminded me, this is a tangent, but when I first started working from home, so this would have been like when I started working for Dell, and I remember like the first few months, I wasn't sure about how to work at home all the time. So I was like going to a lot of coffee shops with my laptop, and I would go, and there was in Savannah, there was a Atlanta Bread Company near where I lived. And it's a nice little, you know, coffee shop, sandwiches, whatever. And so on certain days of the week, I would go to Atlanta Bread Company and sit down with coffee and my laptop. And there was this table across the way, and there were always like three or four guys around my age that were always there. And this is like, I was during work hours, and these guys were all there hanging out multiple times a week, not working, that I could tell. And so I saw these guys all the time. And then I'm walking through our neighborhood one time, like walking dogs or something. And one of these guys is walking down the street. And I was like, hey, I don't know you, but I see you all the time. Like, do you live in the neighborhood? And he was like, oh, yeah. And he was real quiet. And I don't even remember what his name was. He was real quiet, but, you know, nice to talk to. And we started talking a little bit. And that was it. And then I saw him again at Atlanta Bread Company the next week. And then his buddies left, and he came over and said hi. And then we got to talking, and somehow, in like 5 minutes, this conversation with a complete stranger, I learned that he was an artist, and he stayed at home with his two boys. But while they were napping, he was like a known artist. Like, people knew who he was. He sold artwork that was, it was like kind of political in nature, but not like political, like, it was relevant to whatever, it didn't matter. Anyway, it wasn't like topical. Inflammatory political. It was topical. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so he did that. And then somehow in this short conversation, we got to that he was also a musician, and he collected old synthesizers, and he had just gotten this Moog, this like random old kind of hard to find synthesizer at an estate sale in our neighborhood. And I was just like, what? I want that. Like, I didn't know stuff like that was in our neighborhood. And it was so weird. It was this one little conversation with a, like I said, a stranger that ended up us talking about music and old synthesizers, which he knew a lot about. I didn't know a whole lot about, but I really wanted to, you know, to play with it and everything. And we had this one moment of conversation, and then I saw him maybe two more times the whole time I lived in Savannah. We just never crossed paths. The other time I saw him, I learned that he actually lived across the street from one of my really good friends, because I was hanging out at my friend's house, and he like walked out of his house. I'm like, hey, it's dude, whatever your name is. But it was weird. I don't know. Anyway, random story that just was connected by an old synthesizer.
There's something about when you find, so as a musician, you're just attracted to other musicians. It's a conversation. It's an icebreaker, you know, and you can talk about music, and it could be any genre. I very much dislike country music, but if I came across a country music guitar player, I could have a great conversation with them. And when I got into making and woodworking, that translated right into that. If it wasn't for woodworking and music, I don't think I'd have any friends. We're just, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who doesn't make stuff, creatively. That's just the way it is. And man, my life would be so much different if I didn't. This all started because I picked up the guitar at 17 and just snowballed into other forms of creativity.
I was listening to No Dumb Questions, another podcast with Matt Whitman and Destin from Smarter Every Day. And they're both friends of mine. And so I listen to them both because I enjoy the show and because it's cool to hear what my friends are into, you know. And that's probably why some people listen to us as well. Like, people we know in real life, you know, they listen to what we're up to. So I was listening to them the other day, and their shows are always some random topic that ends up in something really meaningful and something deep and something, you know, thought-provoking. It's an excellent show. If you don't listen to it, you should listen to it. But the most recent one, or one of the most recent ones, was about they ended up somehow talking about how you make friends as an adult. As a man, partially, as an adult, as someone who has, you know, kids or doesn't have kids or whatever the situation is that causes you to be isolated, kind of, and how difficult it can be to make friends. But they talked about how hard it was, but then they talked about, like, well, how would you go about if you were this age right now and you didn't know anybody, or you moved to a new place and you need to meet some people, how would you go about it? And what you just said is one of the things that they brought up, was like, find people who make stuff. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean they weren't talking in our context of make mm-hmm. stuff. They were talking in the context of someone who is proactive, somebody who is creative, somebody who is willing to not be, you know, still, not be like just go with the flow. They inject something into their world through music or through creativity or through investment in people or whatever the thing was. But I thought that was a really good piece of advice is, you know, you want to be around the people that make the people around them better.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens mm-hmm. when people are willing to like add to the world, add to their community, and then create things through whatever means. But
so just a few days ago, there was a Cleveland artist named Jordan Wong, and he goes by the art name of Wong Face. He's a professional artist. He does it for a living, and he gave a little talk in Toledo and put on by our local arts commission. And I was like, I'm just going to go to this. I never go to these things. I just need to get out in public more. And I went to it, and he gave this most, maybe he'll be one of my picks for this show. And it was so amazing to hear an artist who does it full time, who does all these public, installations. Is just, it was so satisfying and encouraging and inspiring. I'm like, I got to do this more. I got to get out more. And I'm just in a room with other people, with other artists. And like, that is just one way to get out there and make friends. And a side note, I found myself getting a little bit jealous of Jordan. I was like, he's an artist and he does it for a living. That's what I want to do. And then I'm like, oh, wait, that is what I do. I get to choose. But it was when you see somebody that you respect and you like what they do, you have that little hit of jealousy, and then you just got to take a step back and realize you are doing what you want to do, and life is good.
That's funny. Okay. You just kind of highlighted something that I unconsciously thought about, when it's that desire and need you've had for so long is satisfied, but you forgot to turn that alarm off.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Yes. It's such a good way to put it.
And like all of a sudden you're like, in my mind, I'm like, for instance, I'm like, oh, I always want a little Mercedes sports car. So I'm like, wait a minute, I already have one. I forgot I have one. It's under the cover. It's under the empty Amazon boxes in the garage. Yeah. It's like a simple example. Yeah, I have that already. I forgot.
It is the truth. I wonder why that is. Because, I mean, we all do that. We all have that, you know, you want this new tool, or you want this new guitar, or you want this car, or whatever. And it gets to become, well, I mean, for me, the Land Cruiser, that feeling of undone out there, I don't have it back yet. That feeling is still there. It is still on my shoulder, even though.
Because that's what pushes you. Right, that's there. What drives you forward.
Yeah. As I said, you forgot to hit the snooze on that.
Yeah, that's such a weird thing that we don't let go of those feelings. I guess we get used to it. There's probably a little bit of comfort in you know, like a goal or an ideal.
Like occasionally, like as a bad example, and I can't think of a more exact specific example. Like I'll wake up and think to myself, wouldn't it be nice to have a barn? Oh, yeah.
You're just repeating the comments.
Yeah. check. Got that. I figured that out. Because for years, when I owned this property, I bought this property in 04. And it wasn't until 17, that's 13 years later, that I was actually able to start to build something. So for that 13 years, I'd be like, I got all this property. I wish I had the money to build something. And it wasn't until I actually was able to build it. So like I said, that iPhone reminder keeps popping up. Don't forget to build a barn. I'm like, how do I clear this? I don't know how to clear these reminders on the iPhone. I still have reminders like go to the dentist. I'm like, that was 2 years ago. Could you turn it off?
You and your calendar.
I had an idea. We talked about making friends, and I made friends with this gentleman, Alan. I hope I say his name, Bartram. Alan Bartram, through the strangest, funniest, simplest way. So a couple days ago, Will Shear, my buddy, posted a thing saying, hey, let's all go to the Colony, which is a spot in Woodstock, to go see the Traveling Mercuries, which is a bluegrass band. Del Mercury's kids, it's like his band without Del Mercury. It's called the Traveling Mercuries. His two sons and Alan and a few other guys. It's top-notch bluegrass, like amazing top-notch bluegrass. And so on a whim, I was like, yeah, let's go. So me and Rachel went, and Rob came, and Josh Hawk met us there. He was in town from Massachusetts. Josh is a fan of the show. And Will, and Rob sends me a message and says, Alan, the bass player from the band, is a huge fan of yours and is so excited that you reposted this invitation to go to the Colony in Woodstock. And he's so excited to meet you. I'm like, really? He must have messaged me directly, but we weren't following each other. Or I wasn't following him, so I didn't see it. And so Rob's like, don't forget, we got to bring stuff for Alan, you know, stickers and knives and ice picks and stuff. So we pull in. So it's the night of the show. We go to pull in into the parking lot, and the big giant tour bus is there. These guys are like top-notch bluegrass. Like, they're all from Nashville, it seems. And we pull in, and fiddling around at the entrance of the bus is Alan. And I pull up, and Rob goes, I think that's him. And I pull up, and I'm driving Rachel's car, and I pull up, and I go, hey, do you know me? And he turns and goes, oh, my God. I go, dude. And, like, we immediately were like, what's up? Oh, my God. I go, whoa. The show started in 2 hours from then, but we got there early to have food and stuff. And we hit it off. We exchanged stuff. And then he went up, and he's like one of the lead singers of the band and the bass player and extremely talented. Like, these guys, like, this is the kind of band where if you're not an A number one born professional, you're not getting in this band. Or you're not. It's not like the type. It's just, you know, when you, like, you see a real good bluegrass band and they're just amazing. So, of course, and I've seen them before with Del Mercury at what we have here, Mike, right down the block from me. If any bluegrass fans know the Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival, it is 1.5 miles from my house every July, and it brings in the best bluegrass people from all around the world. And so I've seen these guys there before, and I mean, I love bluegrass, but I never get into, like, the name of the band and who is who and who. But it turns out I've seen them before and I've seen Alan before, and I didn't realize it. But we made friends, and we took a couple pictures together, and we exchanged information. And he's a woodworker, and he started following me because he saw me on This Old House, and started following me on YouTube and Instagram. And I think he listens to the show. So, Alan, I consider you a new friend. And that's how you meet people. So just get famous on YouTube and retag people, and maybe they like you, and that's how you make. That's it. That's one way of making friends.
Yeah, that's one.
I just had lunch with a friend, listens to the show. What's up, Mark? And hopefully it's okay that I talk about this. But he was like, he's like, the first time I saw Jimmy Duresta's videos, he seemed really familiar, and then he remembered that he used to watch you as a kid on one of your shows.
Oh yeah, that's
and
funny.
And so he, like, had this instant connection to you and loved you right away. So
that's fine.
Crazy world.
When I had black hair in my beard.
That's funny. Yeah, I speaking of, like, going to things, you know, to try to, like, local things. I think I talked about going to the comic store. Did I talk about going to the comic store these days?
You guys have is it called the comic store in where you are?
No, like a comic book store.
Oh.
Not like a comic
store that's just in LA.
No, so, like, I a few months back, I don't know how long it's been, I decided I wanted to get back into comic books.
You vaguely mentioned this, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not really because I need to, I mean, I can order comic books online. But we have a local comic shop, and we have a couple of them, and I was in there with my kids one time, and they have like a bunch of 3D printers and stuff, and they print things for people. But we were in there, and I saw, like, how big this operation was, and how, like, it's not just a little room. Like, it's a pretty big space. They have tables set up for people to come in and just play games and kind of hang out. They've got tons of books and, like, collectibles and all this. Just, it's a pretty big thing. So I was like, I want this place to survive. And then at one point, the guy, Max, the guy that owns it, sent me an email and said, like, I figured out, somebody told me that you were in town, and I watched a few videos, and, like, if you ever, you know, need any help printing stuff or whatever, just, like, come on in. So I've been going in. I decided to and as an adult, set up a pull list, which means I like these comics, and every week, every month when they come out, they grab those and they pull them for me, and they put them in a box with my name on them, and so I go in a couple times a month. You know, it gives me a reason to go in. So I've gotten to kind of know the people that work in this place, and they're not people that I see otherwise, but it's one of those, like, there's a local group of people that I have something in common with, and it would be good for me to figure out a way to just have more local connections. I think when we do the online thing for long enough, it's really easy to have all of our connections digital. And
yeah,
I mean, the three of us talk every week. I've got several other creator friends that we text with, you know, on occasion and stuff. And that's great. And it's good. But being able to walk into a place, support a local business for one, but be able to walk into a place and they go, "Hey, Bob," that's kind of cool. You know, it's cool that they're, and it's not because I'm on YouTube. It's because I go in there a couple of times.
Right.
It's funny. There was a small window in time when I was at the School of Visual Arts where me and my brother, we came up with this cartoon. Some of the deep people who know deep knowledge about my past know this comic me and my brother did called Our Hero. And we became friends with Glenn, the owner of the comic book shop, because Glenn liked the comic. It was a dark sense of humor, and this comic was a dark comic. And we would go hang out in the comic shop. And for a minute there, we were hanging out there and hanging out with Glenn and just sharing ideas. This is in 1988, 89. That's how long ago it was. But that brings me back to that, to the comic book shop by the train station. And we'd go there and hang out. And I was never really into other comics. I was into more like the artwork of the illustrated novels. That type of stuff was really more what I was interested in. And but it was fun hanging out. And Glenn had a vast knowledge of everything. He was basically, he was like our connection to that world. And he would basically say, "You guys are on the right track. Just got to keep playing around." But, yeah. That was a long time ago.
It's cool to, you know, just go in there on occasion. I don't spend a lot of time in there or anything, but I went in yesterday. That's probably why it is on my mind. And the guy that owns the shop, there was a black Continental, like blacked out, totally blacked out old Continental sitting outside. And it looked like the Batmobile, kind of. And so I went in and I was like, "Hey, man, is that yours?" And he was like, "Oh, yeah. Like, that's my car."
"Oh, yeah."
So then we started talking, and he's a car guy, too. So he's got, like, an old Charger as well. So then we started talking about cars. And he asked me if, you know, I got the books that my son had asked him about last time we were in there. And it's just cool that there's a little bit of community happening in this place, and I'm just trying to be a part of that little bit of a community. But it's just, you know, I guess we were talking about the friend thing and finding a place where you have some overlap with other people and then just going there. And then naturally that community is going to happen. Naturally, you're going to find things to talk about. Like you were saying with the musicians, like you go hang out in a music store, it's the same thing. You will talk to some random person about, like, which guitar they like better, or which keyboard they like better, or how cheap or expensive the amp was, or whatever, you know, and you're going to find those things that they'll kind of last. We had a music store like that when I was growing up. We don't have a music store in town anymore, but we had one called Heartland Music, and it was a local place. There were two guys that ran it, so that one of them was always in there, and it was when I was in high school. So it was that time when, like, I got my first guitar. And then I saved up money and I bought my first amp. And I remember I was in there every week, 2 weeks, something like that, you know, trying to figure out how to afford trading in this cheap amp for one that's just slightly better. And then trade in this guitar for one that's just slightly better. And then 2 weeks later, I was doing the same thing, you know, just like trying to get up a little bit. And I went through so many different pieces of equipment through that shop. But it got to where I was in there, and they knew who I was, and they knew the other bandmates and stuff. And then when I was in college, we had another music store that was the same way in Savannah called Rhodey's. Go in there, and I remember this is nothing to do with any topic that we were talking about. It's a community thing. So I remember going in there, and I was a freshman in college, new to the town. I had my first band in college, right? So we go into this music store, and there was there's three guys that were in another band called Gam. They were like a famous Savannah big rock band, you know, big in the town. And I remember, like, "Hey, that's those guys. Like, they play a lot around here. Like, it'd be cool if I, you know, if we got to know them or whatever. But it felt like a freshman senior kind of thing in high school. Oh, yeah. You know, it was that feeling. But we're shopping in the same store, right? So we go on. I finish that band. Later on, I join another band. We create another band. We play for a few years. And then we go, it's time to record an album. So we go to this local studio in town that everybody recommended. So we go to the studio. The guy that owns the studio was the guitar player in that band. And I had this weird full circle moment where I was like, you probably don't remember me because we were nothing. We were a brand new band, but I saw you one time at this thing. He was like, oh yeah, I know who you are. I'm like, what? And it was just the connection through the music thing. Like, he didn't say that he liked our music. He didn't say that he respected me, right, anything like that. But it was like, yes, it's a smaller community. There's a connection through a place, through a creation type or whatever. We got to be good friends. He recorded multiple things for us and was super encouraging for us music-wise. But that was like a later part of his career helping an earlier part of my career. It wasn't a career, but, you know, helping an earlier part of my music stuff grow. And it was all because there were spots like that.
Yeah.
Music stores and venues. You know, there are a couple of bars, this place called The Jinx, that like everybody played at. And so you would run across different people in the music world through that thing. Anyway.
So just 2 weeks ago, the show is about community and friendships. We've already changed the subject. We'll save okay, spring cleaning for next one. But just 2 weeks ago, I was in my hometown of Fremont, Ohio, and for family stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm going to visit the old guitar center that's been there. And so I'm in there and just kind of looking around, and the guy that's work, I don't talk a lot in public. I'm a pretty shy person in public places, so I never start conversations. And I'm just kind of looking around, and the guy's like, need help finding anything? And I'm like, no, I just grew up here, just passing by, wanted to see what you got. And he's like, oh, did you used to deal with Al when you were younger? Because it used to be Al's Guitar Center. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, all my first guitar was from here. Everything was on layaway. Like, you just put down $50 and you paid $10 a week for 1,000 weeks, and then you would walk away with a PV guitar. That's how I got my stuff, is through layaways at the Guitar Center. And I was like, oh, yeah, I also took guitar lessons here back in the day. He's like, was it with Dave? And I was like, yes. He's like, oh yeah, Dave's not doing so well. And so we just having a random conversation, which I never do with a stranger, talking about the past and this cool guitar place. And I don't know, it was one of those like, I should talk more, but I'm not. Yeah. Talking more is not my comfort level.
I should talk more.
I should talk more. I have a podcast. I have a YouTube channel. Yeah. I have a Discord. I talk enough, right?
Well, you know, it's funny, like I tell my kids this, you know, kids are always trying to figure out how to fit places, right? They're trying to figure out how to fit into their schools and their teams and their bands and their whatever. And a couple of my kids are really outgoing. A couple of them are not as outgoing. But my recommendation to them is to ask questions. And so, like, when they get into a group and they don't quite feel like they know how to engage or how to fit or what to say or how, you know, start asking somebody else questions about themselves, they will talk. All of us, mm-hmm, will be happy to talk about ourselves if somebody asks a question, because that's just how we're wired. And so the quickest way to not have to say anything is to ask somebody else about themselves, yep, and they will say things. And then it starts to open up like things that you can connect with and things that you, oh yeah, me too. And oh, I know so-and-so and whatever.
It is my go-to when we do these public events, which I haven't done in like 4 or 5 years, but I would, first thing I'll do is like, are you a woodworker? What kind of shop do you have? What do you make? And I just, yeah, make it about them, and it helps ease a little bit of my social anxieties. And then, you know, a minute in, I'm a normal human being.
Yeah.
And then can talk. unlike I'm doing here. I'm trying to, I deal with so much social anxiety in that first 60 seconds. I never know what to say. And so that, mm-hmm, that trick of asking somebody else what they do or what kind of shop that they have is just makes it easier for me.
Yeah, it gives you like a buffer to, yeah, to build. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird to do that. I mean, like going into this, this comic book store yesterday. I think if that car had not been out front, I probably would not have had a conversation thing ready to go. It would have been like, hey, guy, it's good to see you again. I saw you last 2 weeks ago. You know, like that would be it. But Cars, he was able to say, yeah, oh yeah, I like this, you know, Cars this way. And I'm like, well, to me, it looks like the Batmobile. So I think we should make you a giant jet engine to put on the back of it and a bat symbol to put on the front of it. And he was like, well, actually, I drive it to like school events and I dress up. I have a Batman costume and I dress up in Batman. And the kids just go nuts when I pull up in that car and get out as Batman. Bonkers. I'm like, that is awesome. You know, but none of that would have happened if that car hadn't been sitting out there. I would have been like, hey, just like to get my comics, please. So I don't know. It's, I think it's possible to make friends and to like put yourself into communities, but it does take a little bit of effort. But at the same time, as someone who is also kind of, I keep to myself, I don't think it's as hard as I make myself think it is to join into, kind of weasel my way into a community of people, you know. You just got to find a little bit of common ground.
Yep.
Well, I don't know how we got to that, but we did get to that. Anything else going on? Any other? Did you want to talk about spring cleaning at all? Y'all were both excited about spring cleaning. Not really something I do a whole lot of. So,
but it's a, you know, I mentioned I've just been piling up all my scraps outside. They need to be burned. It looks hideous in our backyard right now, and I try to spend. Right now I have a trailer that used to be for the go-kart and now it is storage and it's a disaster. And my sliding wall where I hide all my messes in the shop is a disaster. And now that it's a little bit warmer out and it's not so bad to be outside, I think it's time to organize those two spaces. And I want to move all the plywood into the trailer. So the trailer is just plywood and things I don't need to access very often. And then move any kind of hardwood scraps that I have into the shop and organize it, give away the scraps that I don't need anymore and just make for some more room. All these canned things like shellac and cleaner and blah, it all adds up. The cans of paint, I don't need all of it. So I know Home Depot does like a recycling thing twice a year. I need to do that. I just need, everything is just taking up too much space and I have too many things and I just need to, it is that time of the year to get rid of some of this stuff. And I always feel better after doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I probably should. I probably would feel better about it. I just feel like I'm always in a state of trying to get rid of stuff. So spring doesn't seem like especially unique. But Jimmy, do you have a process for spring cleaning or is it just ongoing cleaning?
Always looking. I'm constantly looking around going, what do I not need? I look around and then there's piles everywhere in the yard. Now there's like two places that I pile stuff. And then when I have an opportunity to have an empty dumpster down the road or a trip to the shop down the road, I fill up my truck. But I'm always, especially now, like I said, there's things that are unfrozen out of the ice. There's no ice and snow at the moment. That probably won't last forever until we're past April. We're always primed for a snowstorm. But it'll be nice. It's nice to just get rid of stuff. And I have I actually went through the garbage bins in my shop yesterday and I have six huge heavy bags of garbage to get rid of. As soon as the show's over, I'm going to go load my truck up and get rid of that stuff. But it's nice. And I was talking about a little scraps of wood that they're all going to go. It's nice.
Having access to a dumpster is one of the coolest things. Sounds like such an old man adult thing to say, I guess, but man, like just having a dumpster that you can use when you need to is pretty huge, you know, because otherwise, if you have anything that's bigger than a trash can or in, you know, whether it's a collection or a single thing, you're just stuck with it. And then it's in the way. And it's one of those like elephants just sitting on your shoulder, just always there. And you got to figure out how to work around it. And you don't know how to, you're ever going to get rid of it and whatever. But having a dumpster is like that thing can immediately go.
Yeah.
Then you start looking for things like, what else can I put in the dumpster?
And today is the day my dumpster is cleaned. So I'm like, today's the day. And I end up with so many boxes. It's crazy.
I've got a little box of, I've tried to clear out wood and stuff over the years, you know, so I don't keep too much of it. And then last year when I redid my shop and stuff, I got rid of a whole bunch of things. I do have this one little box. It's like a Tupperware type container, plastic bin thing with a bunch of hardwood chunks in it. Just different, you know, smaller.
Darn it.
There's a cube of wood in there. Do you guys remember the cube of wood that all three of us got from that guy? I don't remember where we were.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember where we were. We were all together. And some guy came up and said, if I remember correctly, these were blocks of wood that my grandfather had in his shop. And he passed and I took a bunch. I don't know.
I vaguely remember this.
And it's some unique, it feels like a block of steel. It's a perfect square of black wood.
Mine's sitting under my desk at the other shop. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So that there's stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I could just throw the box away and I would lose a couple scraps of walnut and maple and stuff. But then that thing, it's like, I don't really know what it is. I'm not really sure if I'll ever do anything with it, but there's something meaningful about somebody wanting us to have this kind of unique thing to make something with. And I don't know. So I do keep stuff like that. Even though I should probably just pass it on to somebody else. You know. Anyway. Cool. Well, if y'all don't have anything to talk about than spring cleaning, then it was a terrible topic.
Throw stuff away.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Cool. Well, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters, unless you guys have anything else you want to talk through. I don't have a pick this week, so...
I've got three picks now.
Oh, excellent.
This is a record-breaking week for me.
Wow, that's great. It's par for the course for me, because I typically don't have one. Big thanks to everybody on Patreon that supports the show, that makes the show possible, that makes it so that we can justify getting together and yammering about friendship and whatever it is we talk about, you know, all the time. Big thanks to our top supporters over there. A pretty big deal. OMG Made, Crabtree Creative, Michael Menegin, Warren Works, Jeff at the New Janky Workshop, Scott, Dad It Yourself DIY, Sean Beckner, Odin Leather Goods, Rich at Low End Design, Chad from Mancrafting, Works by Solo, Albers Woodworks, Corey Ward, and Nick Ryan. But also people like, I was looking through our list of other people, and I remembered that Aging Wheels is one of our patrons. And that's awesome. He's fantastic. So big thanks to everybody over there that supports the show. You all get the after show. Congratulations. Everybody over there can get the after show just by going to Patreon and you get the little RSS feed. Stick it in your podcast player. Then you can listen to the after show. You can also watch it on YouTube. And that link is in the show notes posted on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
So go check that out.
Yep. I just sent you guys Ricky TV. If you guys don't know Ricky TV, check out Ricky TV. He makes really cool mod style store restorations.
So good.
And then this one thing he put in the store, it's a theremin to wash your hands under. It's so cool. It's awesome. So cool. It is so cool. So he just said he's what I love about Rick is that I met Rick several times. I love about him is that he gets so excited about the things he makes. And he like relishes in his own creativity, which is really energetic. I love it. And
now,
that's a good example. He's like, I can't believe it works. And he's like running his hands on the woo.
So he doesn't just like me, I make little things or one piece things.
He makes a whole store.
entire stores and rooms. And so his projects are huge and they all have a cohesive and a certain vibe to it.
He kind of reminds me of a creative tornado. He comes in and does all this work, and it almost how it's done is not nearly as important as his vision. He'll do it any way it takes. He's spraying foam rubber, he's spraying spray foam and sculpting and grabbing and chipping, and it's almost he's like the Tasmanian devil with art ideas, basically. So wow, check out Ricky TV.
Cool. Okay.
All right. So if I've got three, the first one is going to be Wong Face, WONGFACE, and that's on Instagram. That is the artist from Cleveland who I saw talk the other day. So that'll be one. And then another one is there's a YouTube channel called Public Opinion, and this video is called Inside New York City's 150-Year-Old Panel Factory. And it is basically a tour of Steinway, which is just in the heart of New York City. And there is this factory that makes Steinway pianos. When I say factory,
I've been there.
It's not machines. Yeah.
It's all hand done. I took a tour of that with the TV show, actually. There's a video of it all. But it's an amazing place. It's one of these old school places that's still there.
And it's one of those places where the people who have worked there have all been there for 30 years. And they just do this one job. It's so cool. And then my third pick is from CBS Sunday Morning. They did this little segment called Restoring Classic Cars in the Classroom. And it is basically McPherson College is the first college to offer a 4-year automotive restoration program.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's all this program is. It's just car restoration, which is really cool. So those are my three picks.
Wow.
That must be an amazing course to take.
Yeah.
Well, my pick is Wong Face and this video by Public Opinion. Yeah, I'm glad you had some because I just don't have any, honestly. Cool. Well, those sound interesting. Definitely check those out. I want to hear if there's any updates on your shop expansion in the after show.
Yes.
And I'm going to talk a little bit more about my new laser welder that's coming.
Yes.
I don't remember if I talked about that in the after show or the main show, but anyway, we'll talk about that in just a minute when we do the after show, which is going to happen as soon as we say, thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Love you.